I'm Cameron Curry, the CEO for the Classical Academies. It's time for another podcast. Today, we have two guests with us, Lauren Geis and Alicia Luce, and we're going to be talking about the autism spectrum disorder. So, ladies, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, good to be here.
Well, beautiful. Tell us a little bit about yourselves.
Well, I'm Lauren Geis. I have been a part of the Classical Academies for coming up on 3 years.
Oh, awesome.
3 years in January.
Time flies.
It does, especially with COVID too. I like have to backtrack and think, how many years have I been here? Because, you know, it's been shifting. And I started at Bear Valley and then jumped over to Coastal and Coastal High.
Okay.
And I just absolutely love it. So, yeah.
And I'm Alicia Luce, and I am an SLP at Bear Valley. I have served all the campuses in Escondido at one time or another, and this is my 5th year at the Classical Academies.
So you said SLP. What is that?
It is speech-language pathologist.
Okay.
So I'm part of the special education team.
Yes. And I am a SLPA, so I'm a speech-language pathologist assistant.
See, that's education. We just love our acronyms.
Yes, we do.
That's awesome. What do you love about your jobs?
I love the kids that we work with and the team that we work with. I feel like we have such a great team of speech pathologists and speech pathology assistants, and the kids every day is different.
Yes.
They bring something new to the table every day.
True.
And so I think it's so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd echo what Lauren said. I think the kids are wonderful and the team is great. I think there's something really unique about Classical and the team atmosphere that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody really wants to help one another. Mm-hmm. And that is it's really nice to know that your colleagues have your back.
Right. Exactly. Makes it all worthwhile. So for those of us listening, what is autism and why is it called a spectrum?
Mm-hmm. So autism spectrum disorder, or ASD for short, is a neurological and developmental disorder that affects how people interact with others, communicate, learn, and behave. So it can be diagnosed at any age, but it is described as a developmental disorder because symptoms generally appear in the first 2 years of life. So according to the DSM-5, which is the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, people with ASD have difficulty with communication and interaction with other people, restricted interests and repetitive behaviors, and then symptoms that can affect their ability to function in school, work, and other areas of life.
Okay.
And it's called a spectrum because there's such a wide variation in the type and severity of symptoms that people experience. Every child is different. I've worked with numerous students with autism over the course of my sort of professional life, and there are no two are the same.
Mm-hmm.
You can have some that are like very severe, and then it really is, it's the whole spectrum.
I have a niece who has autism, and she is ridiculously happy all the time. Everything. And she loves music and she's so happy. And it's just amazing because she just filters through a place of, they're not being mean to me. I'm just happy about this and they need to know more about me. And, you know, so I think her parents are really blessed to have a daughter that has autism, but is so frankly just so excited about life in general, which is just really quite awesome. So how can early students be diagnosed and what are some of the symptoms that a mom and dad may clue in on?
Mm-hmm. So students can be diagnosed with ASD around the age of 2. The earlier it's diagnosed, I'd say the earlier that treatment can begin.
Okay.
Symptoms can include but are not limited to, so eye contact, making like little or inconsistent eye contact, and then infrequently sharing interest or emotion or enjoyment. So like with other people, sort of oftentimes, and again, it's just not every time, but oftentimes kids can be like playing off by themselves. So not responding to their name, having difficulties with the back and forth of conversation, displaying facial expressions and gestures that don't match what's being said. Also having an unusual tone of voice that maybe is like sing-song or flat or like robot-like. Difficulties adjusting behaviors in social situations. Difficulties in sharing in imaginative play or in making friends. And then sort of behaviors that maybe are unusual or not typical of other children, such as repeating words or phrases. So scripting, sometimes favorite movies become where kids will just, it's like a movie plays in their mind and
okay.
they will say it, or echolalia, so they repeat everything or like the ends of everything. Having a really like intense interest in a specific topic. So maps, street signs, I've had the movie Cars, where it's like it's they're all in on one topic. And then being overly focused on a toy, but not playing with the toy, like a car, where you'd roll a car back and forth, like you see kids do all the time. Oftentimes kids that are on the spectrum will be really interested in like the wheels of the car. So mm-hmm. they'll pick up the car and watch the wheels spin, but that's all they want to do with it. They don't right. want to play with it
okay.
in a way that maybe more neurotypical kids would play with a car. And then being really upset by slight changes in a routine. So I think Lauren and I have probably both experienced this, where you see a student who is like the routine for the day changes and it sets them off. And it's just like, it's like the end of the world. So having a really like outsized reaction to like a something that's really small.
Okay.
And then being more sensitive or less sensitive to sensory input. There's a whole sort mm-hmm. of not only communication side, but like a sensory side. So whether that's tags on clothing or sound or light or even food textures, or and then, yeah, walking on tiptoes, rocking back and forth, flapping hands.
I was going to say, for my niece, it's definitely food textures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. She would only touch things or only eat certain things, which was just quite the challenge for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. That's fairly typical of a lot of kids with ASD. People can have other sort of related characteristics, and these could be like delayed movement skills, so gross motor, fine motor, delayed cognitive or learning skills, can be hyperactive, impulsive, or inattentive, and then like unusual sleeping or eating, mood or emotional reactions, and then anxiety, stress, and then like either a lack of fear or more fear than would be expected. So the lack of fear, kids that will climb things that you just from a, if they're small and they just, there's like, they have no inhibition. It's just like,
here we go.
Here we go.
Exactly.
So makes for some exciting times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, Lauren, in your work with students with autism, how do we help? How do we help families? How do we help students?
Yeah. So some tips I found across the board when doing research, and I've also found these to be very true when working with our students. I'm sure, Alicia, you can agree.
At least you should agree.
Please. You should. Yes. So avoid sensory overload, which means keep the room quiet. The decorations on the simple side don't have like every book and game out on display. Might be a little bit distracting for those students. Incorporate visuals, and along with that, establish a routine and a schedule. As Alicia was saying, when we change up the schedule, it can be hard for these students to adjust to. And so we like to have visual schedules for the students. So it says, you know, first we're going to do a warm-up, and then we're going to play this video, and then we're going to do our lesson, and last we'll take a break. And having these visuals, having a schedule, will just help them to feel comfortable with their learning environment. It will feel familiar to them. Also, using direct concrete language can be really helpful for them. Figurative language is an area of difficulty a lot of times for students with autism, we found. This is something we work on in the speech therapy realm.
Give us an example of that. What would that be?
That's a great question. So idioms, which are, that's a piece of cake, mm-hmm. or man, I bit off more than I could chew today. You know, all of these.
Right. Their brains go, what are you talking about?
It's not concrete.
Right.
So it's like,
oh, okay.
it's not black and white. And that oftentimes students with autism have a hard time with the like non-black and white.
So yes.
It's like really spelling it out for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Metaphors and similes too.
Oh, okay.
So that's all under the figurative language umbrella. So again, we target these goals in speech therapy, but if they're given a set of directions or have an article with these idioms or with these items, it can be challenging for them to interpret. So using that concrete language is going to be helpful for them to really understand what a person is trying to communicate. And most importantly too, just treating these students as individual human beings. When we...
Because there's nothing wrong with them. It's their brain works differently. Yep. That's all.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So tapping into those interests, the superpowers, like we like to call them, the students who are really into Minecraft, maybe you can use Minecraft and incorporate it into their learning. Maybe they love Cars, the movie Cars. You can use that and find a story related to cars, and you know they'll be more interested or more likely interested. Let's do our
math. How many wheels do you see in this photo?
Yeah, and, exactly. So things like that. Yeah.
Well, it is interesting because it's some people would say they have superpowers because their brain works so differently, and they come across as exceptional as far as remembering this or having the ability to, you know, pinpoint this or that. So, yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah. They also have like cognitive strengths, like a strong memory or encyclopedia knowledge, like hyper focus and a really strong work ethic. And so I think it is, it's like tapping into these things that are strengths and not just like focusing on the things that maybe are more difficult.
Yeah.
So I think really having an autistic child in your classroom or like working with them can be a real gift because they do see the world differently, but in a way that is like, I think sometimes we can lose sight of.
It's precious and beautiful.
It really is.
You know, it's like you remember all of that. It's incredible. So special. So really, what is the best or right way to teach an autistic child? Or is there a best or right way to do that? Because everybody is so different.
I think TCA is doing a really great job at this. And so I think we've noticed just some of the things that we feel the school is doing well and we can continue to do is like connecting and investing like in each individual student. I think like all of us, we want human connection, friendship, and relationships like anyone else. And so having a trusted point of contact on campus and keeping communication lines open between staff, between the student and the parent is a really one great way to help support these kids, and then giving them opportunities, making it possible, whether that is with extra support, being to be in the school play or to be on the basketball team or to be a teacher's assistant and to be involved in clubs and sports on campus, and like helping where maybe like the weaknesses, they need the extra support, but like giving them the opportunity to have those interactions.
Yeah, absolutely. Also channeling those strengths too, like we talked about, using their passions, their abilities, their interests to target learning. And then I think bridging the gap between the kids without autism and the kids with autism, it's just for those kids who are more neurotypical, it's going to be such an incredible learning experience for them to work with these kids with autism and see their strengths, what they can do well.
Right.
So having those two, I think, together can be such a powerful tool for learning too.
So is there any truth to the perception that autism has grown over the past couple of decades for the diagnosis for children? Or is that tied to science? Is that tied to media? Is there any truth to that? And is there any reasons behind why there are more students with autism?
I mean, I can't tell you like specifics. The numbers have grown.
Okay.
So that is true.
Okay.
It was like one in, 66, like a few years back. And now I think I read a statistic that it's like one in 44 okay. that are diagnosed. So I think more people, they're trying to catch it earlier. So I think back when I was in school, it was like not, and this was many, many years ago, it was not something that was, we didn't have the tools or the sort of-
Maybe even the awareness.
The awareness, exactly.
Right.
And so having, now they're doing checks at 18 months and 24 months for you take your child to the doctor, like those are now sort of like the well child screening. So looking for signs. So I think there's a heightened sort of awareness people that like, this is something to be looking out for. And so I think- That's definitely like one piece. And I mean, I think too, you think back to maybe kids in classes in school who maybe didn't have a diagnosis of autism, but like everybody kind of knew maybe like, oh, like, okay, there's just, yeah, a heightened awareness of like what autism is. And, but I think we could probably all think back to maybe, oh yeah, like that, if I had to think about the symptoms or the sort of maybe that was a student or that was a kid in my class who like could have been on the spectrum.
But even adults, I was going to say, even adults that we're interacting with now, I will say you know, silently inside my brain, I'm like, I'll bet they're on the spectrum. You know, it's just interesting because they think differently. They, you know, interact with the world so differently. And it's just like, oh, this is so great. You know, it's so great how unique you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Real gift. Real gift. So how can we best support autistic children at the classical academies? You've touched on some of that. Is there some additional things that we are doing or we'd like to do that we think would add value?
I mean, I think just enabling is like social interactions and giving students opportunities to do that. I think classical, because of our model of having everybody in a gen ed class, like that's something that we do really well. And so whether for students that are on the spectrum and whether they have an aid or not, and how those supports can even start in elementary school mm-hmm. and then fade by the time they're in high school, I think that is a real, you can see how students grow like from through the years and as they sort of become more confident in themselves and whether that is getting some of the like their own quirks, like figuring out how to manage them in a classroom setting. Mm-hmm. I have seen that through the years as kids grow and like mature, they mm-hmm. some of those things become easier.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love the thought that these kids are in the general ed program, they're interacting with other students. So students get to see there are differences in the world and people think differently, people act differently, and just the uniqueness that that brings to the community, which is just so important.
Yes. Yep. And for those students who aren't on campus full time, maybe they're independent study or they're taking some elective courses, mm-hmm. they're coming on campus a few days a week and taking these electives where they are still getting that student interaction, but their learning environment might not be best suited in the class every day. I think every parent will know what's going to be best for their child. But there are so many ways to do it here at our school. And I think that's such a positive for these kids.
So ladies, this has been a really great conversation for us to have that can be an encouragement to our community. So I just want to thank you for being on the program today.
Yeah. Thank you, Cameron.
Thank you.